Everybody. Welcome back to Ping.
Episode
number
130. You think after 133 weeks you'd get it down now. You could do it on your own.
This is 134.
I don't even need to be here, actually. Yeah,
perfect. This is foreshadowing what it's going to be like the next couple of weeks. It's going to be great.
134 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsoft used to ping
each other about,
and then you guys commenting, and then us commenting on what you're commenting.
You know what I realized?
Yeah.
There's probably a bunch of viewers out there that don't even know who we are.
Would you like to tell them who you
yeah,
are?
Yeah, I am Laura Foy's sidekick.
Very accurate description. And I'm Laura Foy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect.
I think it says that in at the beginning of each little text.
Yeah,
entry,
but
it says
I know
Laura and
people don't like to read. That's why they like listening to audio and watching video.
You think we should come out every week and be like, no, I'm Laura Foy.
I think probably every 5 to 10 weeks we should just kind of get back to the roots of it and say, like, you know, we're Microsoft employees. You're on the Channel 9 team. I'm on
all
the
right.
System Center Advisor team.
Okay. You know what else is a good idea? That we have these sort of production meetings when we're not shooting.
Oh, interesting. Look at that. No.
Talk about these things outside.
Brilliant. Really? No. See, I think people like seeing the sausage get made.
This is how it works here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We had some good comments last week. Really good
Such
comments.
As?
Well, Niner welcomed me back.
Yes.
So clearly Niner missed me, and he wants me to send him a Channel 9 guy, but...
But here that, it is.
That's
send
not
it to him.
There you go.
Send it to
boom.
Him.
Boom. There you go. You got it.
Good job. There you go. Niner, who... It's interesting because he says welcome back. So he's been around a while. He knew you when you were here, knew you when you weren't here. And yet he's got the defaulto Channel 9 avatar, and his name is just Niner.
Yeah.
So he's very mysterious.
Yeah.
You think that, like, he'd been around a while, he maybe wanted to customize this as avatar, and, like...
Well, I mean, maybe he really is a Niner, because it has the 9
that's
avatar.
That's it.
Maybe that's what it was. But Alex219267...
Yeah.
Is probably the best fan of all time. He
what
says,
he
the
say?
King has returned.
Yes.
Welcome back, Paul. You saved Ping and all of its glory. Happy days.
Okay, I wonder how much you paid him. Blah wants to know why I'm shouting. I don't think I am.
You know,
it's just how I talk. I've had complaints about this before, and to them I say, shut up!
that's her whispering, too,
that's
by the
it.
Way.
I'm from New York. You want to know who we are? So I'm from New York. We talk fast. We talk loud. What we have to say is important. That's it. Forget about it.
Forget
about it. There was another comment that I found hysterical.
Oh, no.
Just cracking. So last week we talked about Googlighting and the little parody video that we made to poke fun at Google Apps. And he's talking about how, like, Moonlighting, the show, is so old. He's like,
How old is it?
He's like, is our next video going to be a jab at Apple using Little House on the Prairie? They could have come up with something a little more modern than Moonlighting.
Well, perhaps that's part of the whole target demographic, where, you know, they didn't want to get a Justin Bieber person in there, and they would rather have...
Maybe.
You know, someone
maybe
that resonates with people that are in their 40s or 50s that are making multi-million dollar decisions for their
That's true. Doesn't resonate with me. There was actually one more comment. You know what? It was INT64 who had the funny moonlighting thing. It was Justin who says...
Oh, thank goodness. Paul is back. That show is just a tad off without him. Welcome back, amigo.
Oh, I was going to skip to the second paragraph. Oh. Where he says he wants me to cover less games and more productivity apps.
What? Since when do you care about productivity?
What?
I mean, am I right?
Seriously, and he's like, there must be more people out there. As though he's like, can I get what on this? No, we want to talk about the games.
Do we?
Yeah.
I'll cover the productivity.
I do use my flashlight app a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. There you go. I just covered productivity.
That is probably the most used.
Yeah. Start the show.
Probably that'd be a good idea.
So one of the conferences that I've always wanted to go to, maybe one day, I think I've even mentioned my dream to go to this conference.
Are you kidding me? This is my dream.
My dream is to be
a presenter at TED.
Oh, I just want to go.
Oh, okay.
I'll go and watch you.
Oh, perfect.
And clap.
Yeah.
Because some really cool stuff comes out of the TED conferences.
Awesome stuff all the time.
Really cool stuff. Technology, education, design, for those who didn't know.
Is it education? Or is it entertainment?
Is it?
I don't know. I remember somebody, like hundreds of episodes ago, corrected me on it, and I vowed never to forget. So
Is it entertainment?
I think it's one of those E words.
All right, well, we're all going to get back to you, but in the meantime, let's talk about what Vijay Kumar showed off essentially cooperating flying robots.
Yeah.
This is some next
Yeah, that's not even like a sensational
stuff.
Headline. It's like it's one of the coolest, like genuinely coolest, simplest looking things I've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
But then when you look at the details underneath, it's crazy. So there's these things that are like mini helicopters,
yeah.
But they're not helicopters because there's four spinny things on top, and that is the technical term
spinny
for it.
Spinny things.
Or it could be called a quad rotor.
Oh.
And,
I like spinny things.
And in the 16-minute talk, he describes the work of a couple of the students
mm-hmm.
where they had talked about the dynamics of flight and how there are drones that are out there that actually require people to fly them remotely and look at all these gauges. But these, the things that they wanted to make were smaller so that they could have a much better control over the physics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So as it got smaller and lighter, they said it was like 8 inches in diameter, it was a tenth of a pound, and it was just created by a couple students. And they just made this thing so that it can just fly through the air.
Yeah, and the various robots, they can fly in certain formations. I was really impressed when they flew in the figure eight formations.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Well,
they can construct buildings or, you know, miniature buildings made out of, you know, smaller size pieces of equipment. And then what is actually relevant to us as Microsofties, although all of this is really cool, is there is one where the robot uses a Kinect to actually see and enter buildings that they've apparently maybe had never gone in before.
Right. So like, so all the first set of demos, it was in a studio environment that everything was controlled. They had motion control cameras, and they were able to
right.
kind of give additional information to the robots so that they can fly in the appropriate patterns. What they did with the Kinect is, like, let's say we don't have a controlled environment where we don't have GPS available, we don't have motion sensing or the cameras set up. So what they did is they made a slightly larger robot with a Kinect on top.
Mm-hmm.
They used the camera and the depth sensor and a bunch of other things to map out a building. So this thing like flies in and like starts scanning around a room, and you can see it building this three-dimensional model
right.
in real time.
So it goes down corridors, and then so one screen you can see it flying through these hallways, and the other screen you see it actually building a blueprint
yeah.
to the building that it's now navigating through. Unbelievable.
Yeah, what I thought was really cool is like, there are so many things that you just take as a given until they really break it down how intriguing it really is. For example, with it mapping out the building,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't just randomly fly around. Like, it looks around to get enough data to realize where it needs to go find out more information and draws like the shortest distance between the point where it is now and where it can go to get the most unknown information. So if it completely maps out a room, it's like, okay, there's nothing else I can map out in here, then it will go back
right.
and go find out other places that it hasn't mapped. And this has so many really, really interesting applications for it. So a few of the things that they mentioned would be like for like natural disasters,
mm-hmm.
where like there's been like an earthquake or a flood or something, and they need to have like a search mission go out, like they can have these robots just deploy them all and have it work in combination with each other to completely map out an area and either, you know, search for life or search for
mm-hmm.
radiation or something like that. And it's super interesting.
Did you see the movie Minority Report? Where
yes.
the evil robotic...
That's exactly what I thought of.
Right, where the little robots, they fly around, they can navigate
yeah,
through the hallways, and then they have heat sensors too, right? So
right.
they can crawl under doors and find Tom Cruise in the bathtub of ice, you know?
Yep.
This is basically the same thing. I'll bet, you know, Minority Report was visionary.
Yeah.
A lot of products probably were stemmed from those people.
Well, I imagine it wasn't Minority Report that came up with those interesting concepts. I imagine the people that wrote Minority Report were already, like, kind of invested in this area and have talked with a bunch of people that have already had these visions and kind of combined it all together.
So essentially you're thinking that Microsoft Research and the people who created the Kinect are responsible for Hollywood blockbusters.
Yeah, if you want to take everything I've ever said completely out of context,
then that would be right.
That would probably
so
be right.
So we're pretty much in Hollywood right now.
We are, because not only that, but the Kinect also helped make these robots. I don't know if you watched to the end of the TED Talk.
Yeah.
But then they played what theme song? Yeah, they played the James Bond theme song. They had like 9 robots. They had them like sit down on keys on the piano, and they had other robots like go across.
James Bond was a little before my time.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. See, I'm just apparently very precocious. I'm wise beyond my years.
Let's move on.
Okay.
So last year I went to Mobile World Congress and brought you back a ton of really valuable information. This year I didn't go. But doesn't mean news isn't being made from Barcelona.
I mean, it basically means that.
I mean, not much is going on because I didn't go. But Terry Myerson, the new head of Windows Phone, he made some announcements and some that people are finding a little bit controversial. Did you read the article, Paul?
I did. I read the article. And Myerson's a guy that apparently doesn't shy away from saying some stuff.
I love Terry. I know him personally. I think he's a great guy.
I've never met the guy. I don't even know what he looks like. But
he's very tall.
Oh, okay. I like him then.
Yeah, he's very tall.
Or
you guys
maybe
would get
he'd
along.
Be threatening to me in my... So I pretty much just have
no
the height.
I think you guys would see eye to eye.
Yeah, well, on some things.
Anyway, what did he say, Paul?
He had said a couple of things. So I guess a reporter in the audience or someone that was interviewing him had asked about his thoughts on whether the Windows Phone would be updated, and he kind of compared that to both the Apple iOS device as well as the Android devices.
Right.
So with Apple, he made the comment that sure, you could apply iOS 5 to an iPhone 3G when really probably meant a 3GS because you can't put iOS 5 on a 3G device.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just slows down the device and makes it very unusable. And I think he put a quip in there saying that that's part of Apple's strategy to kind of incent
you... Make people buy new hardware.
Buy new hardware.
Right.
So I
like that. I like that. A little attitude.
Yeah.
A little gumption.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Like, I mean, coming from a product development world, like, you know, with my product System Center Advisor, we only support like Windows Server 2008 and 2008 R2. And it's not that we technically couldn't support 2003 or 2003 R2. It's just a matter of like, where do you really want to invest your resources, and like, what is the customer expectation behind
it? Well, I think it's true, and if it came off as a little bit of a jab, that's fine. But I also think it's true across the board. Like, if I were to take one of my laptops from 5 years ago, try to put Windows 7 on it, it's not really going to run.
Oh, I mean, it depends. It depends how cutting edge your laptop was back then and what type of experience
average,
you
want. Average laptop.
Well, I mean, let's just take your current laptop.
My current laptop, which is just recently giving me some problems.
Well, maybe if your dog didn't eat it.
No, I just got it fixed. Anyway, I don't know what's going on with this thing.
But then I think that there was a bit more of an on-point remark where Myerson had said that Android devices, there's a ton of them out there, the whole ecosystem is managed poorly as far as OS updates go. And he said, like, statistically
speaking... Well, they don't update at all, do they?
Well, I believe the actual platform allows for updates, and I think that it's up to the carriers or to specific manufacturers to get that out to the end customer, and it's not managed by a single entity that really, really cares. Whereas with, you know, Apple and iOS, they do, like, they own that whole ecosystem end to end, so they do a good job of when an update can be applied, that it's offered to their customers. And with Windows, with Mango, the first time
Windows Phone 7.5.
Yeah, well, the code name Mango, when that was put out there, I think Microsoft really surprised people about how many, like, what I think it was like 90% of devices were updated within weeks of that being launched.
So
that
a big success.
So that I think showed that we're definitely a key player in this area, but it's yet to be determined how far back our backwards compatibility will go whenever there's a new major release of Windows Phone.
So essentially he's like, he's not really talking about what we're up to, and instead he's just making fun of the competition.
Or identifying where there are challenges in the industry.
Same old, same old. One of the longest and most beloved games that Microsoft has put out has been the Microsoft...
Solitaire? Minesweeper?
Oh, is that what you're doing this weekend?
Probably. I mean, yeah, Solitaire is just the new lifeblood for me.
I have revived my Words by Post gaming, so that tweet was real. Like, I can't find you.
I like how you called me out on Twitter about not responding to an invite that I hadn't even received yet.
Yeah, so that's what I did. So anyway, so please play me. I play Herb all the time. He's beating
me
right now. IRB.
I don't know. I don't know who that guy
is. You don't play. Oh, he's dead to you. Anyway. What was I even talking about? Oh, games, Microsoft Flight. So there was Microsoft Flight, and then they were not making any more Microsoft Flight, and then they were going to relaunch Microsoft Flight.
Well, there was Flight Simulator.
Microsoft Flight Simulator, but now it's just called Microsoft Flight.
Right.
And now just announced it's actually released for free on the Games for Windows platform.
Well, it's actually a freemium.
It's freemium.
Freemium, which means that you get a base set of experiences for free, and then you can pay for
upgrades.
Additional content.
Right.
So I actually downloaded this. It was like a 1.5 gigabyte download. You need some pretty hefty specs, apparently, to get like the full gaming experience, because you have, you know, 3D graphics that you're playing in real time and all that good stuff.
Lightbulb Larry's got these huge monitors that he plays with, like
in his man cave. Yeah, and then he has like guitars on the other wall and like guns on another. I'm just like, okay, is this soundproof down here? I don't have reception myself.
Yeah, you don't go down there alone.
I gotta run.
I'm sure he's happy about this though. So you guys can go ahead and download it.
Yeah, it's so I played it. The very first mission helped me realize that not only am I really bad at water sports, I'm also apparently incapable of flying.
Okay.
So
just add them to the list.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Just
but solitaire, Paul. You always got solitaire.
Well, at least I've had some physical contact now. That's great.
All right, we couldn't wrap up the show without talking about, obviously, some of the biggest news coming out of Microsoft in weeks. Windows 8.
Oh, my gosh.
Released the consumer preview, and you can download it. And they want people to download it and try it and start using it.
Yeah, because not enough people have downloaded it. It was only a million people in 24 hours.
A million people. 24 hours. Were you one of those people, Paul?
I was not one of those people. The Microsoft IT requested that we wait for the official MSIT-sponsored image, but I can't wait to get it on my laptop. If I'm not going to South by Southwest next week, I'll probably install it on this, and that way, because it's all like touch screen and everything, and then maybe I'll make a Windows 8
app. Give you something to touch.
Yeah, it's just it'd be great, and then I can make like an artificial intelligence on here, so it can play Scrabble.
That's good. So anyway, they were trying to compare it to the download stats from the beta of Windows 7, but apparently the stats were really not very comparable or comparable because...
Well, I mean, I don't think they were tracked differently.
Yeah. They weren't trying to top each other. Just giving out a kudos, a million downloads in a day, and they expected it to top 3 million by the end of the weekend. So that's huge. And hopefully people are out there using it, enjoying it, and we will report back more when we can.
Yeah, if you guys have Windows 8, let us know what your experience has been like. Well, I mean, you just...
Well, I have it on my other laptop.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I need to put it on this, and then I'll be good to go.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that pretty much wraps it up for today, for this week. Yeah, see, I almost have it. I can almost be the host.
Maybe it's like 135 episodes, and you'll get it. It's tough. It's not easy to do what I do.
Line? Yeah, I need cue cards or
something
like that.
Teleprompter or something like that.
But hopefully I will be here a couple weeks from now. I think next week you're out of the office.
I will be out next week at South by Southwest, hopefully getting some sort of something for you. And then the week after that, I will be out again. Hopefully Paul will rustle up a co-host.
Also getting some sort of
blonde you could bring in,
now
get
we're
our
talking,
ratings up a
yeah,
little bit.
Maybe
someone in some sort of French maid outfit.
Wow, we're just hitting all these things that
if we did, we would
go viral and probably not in a good way.
If this is the Ping Paul show and I can't get fired for it, go crazy.
Well, I think you ultimately do sign off on this, since
I'm not
in this org. But hey,
right.
It's been a great week, and I'm looking forward to having a couple weeks off.
Peace out.